The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 28, and the verses are from verse 10 to verse 17. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord."
So this morning, we're doing a Frontline Sunday. We've done one of these already this year. And if you were here on our first Frontline Sunday, you'll have received a coaster. Looks like this. So you'll know if you're at that service because you'll have one of these. And if you weren't, then you won't. But basically, we were thinking about how God is with us, not just when we're in church, but between Monday and Saturday. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God is with us. And this coaster was to remind us of that. We'll be looking at some red dots in a minute, and it might start to make sense why it's a red dot coaster. And maybe if you took one of these from our first service, maybe it's in your office at work, or it's at the place where you care for somebody, or it's in a group you go to, it's somewhere that reminds you that God is with you when you're in that place. So that's what we did in our first Frontline Sunday. We're going to have five Frontline Sundays, so this is our second one of the year. And this time we're thinking about how the places we find ourselves in during the week are places where God is and where God is with us. So this whole Frontline thing isn't about doing something new. This isn't a kind of a new thing that we're adding on to what we do as a church. It's not a new activity. You don't have to go somewhere new or do something new. It's about recognizing that the things we do already in our everyday lives is where God has called us to be, and God is with us in those places. And we're going to start by watching a short video. So in that video, we're reminded that ordinary places can become holy places. We see four different people. We see a grandmother who's doing some childminding. We see a plumber who's out fixing people's sinks. We see a volunteer football coach who's out on a Saturday morning leading a football team. And we see a businesswoman who's in quite a stressful job, sometimes having to resolve conflicts and deal with difficult situations. And that video is telling us that everyone has a front line. Whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're employed or unemployed, everybody has a front line. We all have somewhere where we are when we're not here in church. And in January, we had our church vision Sunday, where you remember if you were here, because we had a short service, we had coffee, and then we came back and we put all the chairs in little circles because we had discussion time. And one of the things we were talking about was how we are both a gathered church and a scattered church. So the gathered church is represented by these little red dots in the corner. We live in a very secular age where only a small percentage of people go to church. So we can see, we feel like quite an insignificant minority quite a lot of the time. But while we might look like that on a Sunday morning when we gather here, actually throughout the week, we look more like that. So there might not be many of us, but we are scattered around in the world, surrounded by lots of people who either don't have faith or have a different faith or are not sure what they think about God. And that's the place where God has placed us. He doesn't want us to huddle together like a holy huddle the whole time. He wants us to live out our faiths in our everyday life. Now, this morning's passage is from the book of Genesis. It's right at the beginning of the Bible. And it's part of the story of Jacob. And it all starts when Abraham's son, Isaac, marries Rebekah, and she becomes pregnant with twins. And these twins, we're told, start fighting even before they are born. So in the womb, these twins are kind of wrestling with each other. And there's all this conflict going on. So they're fighting when they're in the womb. Then as they're born, the fighting continues because the younger twin, who comes out second, is grasping at the heel of the older twin. So the older twin is called Esau. And apparently when Esau is born, he's described as being hairy and red. Can you imagine having that as your description? You say, oh, how's the baby? Is it very cute? So, well, it's kind of furry and red. Okay, interesting. And then Jacob is called Jacob because he grasps at the heel of his older brother, who's born just seconds before him. He's trying to grab hold of him and say, no, I want to be first. So they're fighting this whole time, even before they're born and as they're born. Now, because Esau is the eldest, only just, he should have received his father's blessing. So this is a traditional thing at that time, that to receive the father's blessing meant that you got the inheritance, and you got security and prosperity, and everything was yours. And so that was meant to go to Esau. But actually, as they get older, Jacob tricks his slightly older brother, and he ends up with the blessing instead. So he's a bit of a trickster, is Jacob. And he ends up tricking his father and his brother, and he gets the blessing. So Esau, the older brother who should have the blessing, sets out to kill his younger brother. I mean, it's a massive family drama. It's like an episode of EastEnders, kind of wrapped up to the max, where Esau is out to kill his brother. So at this point in the passage is where we started reading this morning. Jacob is on a journey, both figuratively and literally. He's on this journey, and while on one hand he's got the blessing, on the other hand, he's got it by being deceitful, and his brother is out to get him, and his family's kind of imploded because of all this conflict that's going on. And in the midst of this family conflict and this sort of midlife crisis for Jacob, he stops on his journey, and he's in between places. And it's quite an ordinary place, and he lays his head down to nap in this very ordinary spot, in this very in-between places. And it's there that he has this extraordinary dream. So it says that he takes one of the stones from that place and he puts it under his head to lay down to sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to sleep with a nice soft pillow. But apparently, they've discovered in ancient Egypt, people used to sleep on stones. And part of it was to do with stopping insects crawling into your ears. It's not very nice, is it? So I don't know how well they slept on these stones, but that's what they used to do. So he got a stone and he used it to rest his head on. And as he sleeps, he has a dream. It says that he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching up to heaven. And it says the angels of God were ascending and descending, going up and down on this staircase. And there above it, there at the top of the staircase, stood the Lord. And the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. So he's telling him about his identity, about who he belongs to. He's saying, I am your God, I am the Lord. And he says, all people on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And this is a really repeated theme in the Bible, that when God blesses people, he doesn't just do it so that they'll feel good and cozy. He does it to bless other people. So he's saying, I'm going to bless you, and through you, you are going to go on and bless other people. That's how blessings work. The reading continues. The Lord says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you. That's God's promise. That I will be with you wherever you go, I will watch over, and I will not leave you. Now, we all have dreams every night, apparently. Scientists tell us that we all dream. Most of the time, we don't remember our dreams when we wake up. But what's happening when we're sleeping is our brain is kind of having a factory reset. And the brain is kind of sorting all kinds of stuff out. And as it does that, it plays us these little films in our imagination. Now, sometimes these little films, these dreams, are very vivid. They can be quite scary. So we wake up and they're very much in our mind. Most of the time, we just forget them, or they're really strange. My daughter was telling me about her dream the other day, and to her, it was really interesting, because she'd seen this dream, and I was just like, it doesn't mean anything, does it? When someone tells you about their dream, and it's so bizarre, it kind of doesn't really mean anything. But occasionally, we have these dreams, and they're really significant. We know that they mean something. We know that there's something significant in them. And Jacob's dream is one of those dreams. The reason we know it's significant is because it ended up in the Bible. If you think about it, how the Bible began is it began by word of mouth. Before anything was written down, people would share these stories. Now, this story survived all those tellings of people's word of mouth and then got written down in the Bible. It was decided, this is really important. About the story of God and people, this is really important. And what is it a story of, this dream? It's a story of how heaven and earth are connected. That is what Jacob is discovering in his dream. It says that when Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." And then he goes on, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So this very ordinary place that Jacob finds himself in, he's realized that it's not ordinary. That actually, it's extraordinary because heaven and earth are connected. We see the connection of heaven and earth right from the beginning of the Bible. Right at the start of the Bible is the story of Adam and Eve. Now, the name Adam means soil or earth, so he's earth man. Okay, an earth man, we discover, and his partner Eve walk around the garden, and as they're doing that, they chat with God. Heaven and earth are connected. But as the story goes on, we find that heaven and earth become disconnected because of the decisions that this man and this woman, who represent all men and all women, that becomes disconnected. The connection between God and humans becomes separated. And the rest of the Bible is about how God is constantly trying to reconnect with human beings, but they keep turning away. And this example in Jacob's story is another example of that, of God saying, "I want to reach down to you. I am not far away. Heaven and earth are connected. I am always with you." And that's what Jacob is seeing in this dream. And we can see how this connection of heaven and earth is there in Jesus, because God, the God of the universe, who seems so high up above as though there's this massive staircase and is far away, we discover that God comes down to us. At Christmas, I was here with a stepladder talking about how we try and get up to God. We try and be the best we can be, try and, you know, improve our careers and our lives and look really good on Facebook and constantly trying to improve things and climb up this ladder, and it's exhausting. And how the Jesus story is how God knew that we could never reach the divine heights. So God came down to us in the person of Jesus. Heaven and earth are connected. And then Jesus goes on to live his life to show us what God was like. And he goes on to die and rise again, all in order to reconnect heaven and earth. Because the end of the story of the Bible is of how the new heaven and new earth happen, and how God reconnects heaven and earth. And this relationship that we're all meant to have, this connection, can happen. Connection and reconnection. It's what the Bible is all about, and it's actually what life is all about. We long for connection. As soon as we're born, we long to be held by our mother or our father. Scientists tell us that our brain development is all so much hinges on those first few moments when we're born, when we need to be held and we need to be able to look into another human's face and know who we are and know that we are loved. And if that doesn't happen, all kinds of problems can happen later in life. We are made for connection with one another. We need to be loved. When I went to see Louise and Freya a couple of weeks ago to talk about the baptism today, I arrived and Louise went to make a cup of tea, and I sat on the floor where Freya was playing. And she can sit up now, can't she? So she was sat up, and she had kind of toys around her, but she had some cushions in case she fell over. So I sat down while Mum was making a cup of tea, and I kind of got some of her toys. And she was a little bit wary of me. She was like, "Who's this guy? What's he up to?" But she's a confident little baby, so she smiled, and we played with some toys. But the moment that Louise came over with the cup of tea, Freya's face lit up, because this was Mum. You know, this was the human being who she has a really strong connection with. And so when Freya came over, that connection lit up, and suddenly Freya was confident, and she snuggled up to her mum, and then she was happy to kind of show me toys and kind of play a bit more, because she felt secure. Now, that connection and that relationship that we need as babies, we also need it as adults. It doesn't stop. The problem is we sometimes don't get it, and so our affection and our connection goes off in all kinds of bad ways and bad directions. But we are made for relationship. We're made for relationship with each other, and we're made for relationship with God. That's how God has made us. And maybe you have lost this connection. This connection that we're meant to have with God. Maybe you've had it, but you feel like you've lost it. Or maybe you've never had this connection. Maybe you're thinking, "I've no idea what this guy's talking about, connection with God." I want to encourage you to step towards God, because he is constantly stepping towards us. The Bible says that he stands on the door and he knocks, and all we need to do is open the door. He longs to connect with us. It's what we're made for. It's how we're meant to live as human beings. So Jacob sees a staircase, a ladder, and it tells him that there's a connection between heaven and earth, between God and humans. But what has this got to do with our Monday to Saturday lives? Well, Jacob was not in a temple or in a synagogue. He wasn't in a holy tent of meeting. He was in a very ordinary place. He wasn't in a prayerful or pious state. He was in the middle of a crisis. He was in the middle of conflict. But it was here where God chose to meet him. God showed up in this ordinary place and told him that heaven and earth were connected. It will be like having a difficult day at work and things are really stressful. You think, I just need to get a break. So you want to step out for 5 minutes for some fresh air. So you go out of the doors at work and all the smokers are there, so you can't get fresh air there. So you have to walk about, 50 yards down the road. And you just take a breath. And in that moment, you remind yourself that God is with you when you're at work. It might not feel like it when you're in the middle of the stress, but you're reminded that God is with you at work. So you're able to then go back into work with a slightly different mindset and a bit more peace. Or maybe you're looking after the grandchildren or the children and you've got the paints out and they're making a real mess and it's really stressful. But actually you manage to take that little moment to recognize that these children, even though they cause a whole lot of mess, they are wonderful creations of God and they're beautiful. And they remind you of that connection we have with God. Now, in both those situations, you're still in the middle of real life. After you've had that moment of break from work, you still have to go back into the stressful situation. But you're able to go back knowing that God is with you. And in the second situation where you've got all the mess, you still have to clear up the mess. And you still have to deal with the kids and you're still really exhausted. But you can be in the midst of that knowing that God is with you. It changes things when you recognize that God is with you in these everyday situations. Our reading this morning continues. It says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. So Jacob takes this very ordinary place, and he takes this very ordinary stone, there's stones all over the place, and he makes his pillow into a pillar. It's great, that, isn't it? He takes his pillow and makes it into a pillar. And what is a pillar? Well, there's some right here. Now, these pillars are designed, and this whole building is designed to help our eyes lift upwards and our hearts lift upwards, to help us connect with God. So these pillars are designed like this, and they point upwards, and they're also reminders of trees like the Garden of Eden. So it's that connection again, because they go up and then out. And as we look at the front, our eyes are directed to the reredos, which is the posh name for the painting at the back. And there we have Jesus on the cross. And we're reminded that God came as a human being, one of us, in the very ordinary day muck of life, and that he died on that cross. But then our eyes are lifted to the window above that, where we see Jesus walking from the grave and reminded that death does not have a hold of us because Jesus walked free from death so that we can too. And then above that, our eyes are raised again to Jesus raising up to heaven. And that one day he'll be coming back to bring heaven and earth back together so that we can be fully connected with God, so that heaven can be fully connected with earth. That's what we're made for. That's the amazing story that we are part of. And I want this church to be a church that is passionate in its gathering, in its worship, in its prayer, but not just so that we can have a nice time when we gather on a Sunday, but so that we can then go out into the world like these pillars that are pointing up to heaven, but they're grounded on the earth. They'd be no good, these pillars, if they weren't connected with the soil and the dirt at the bottom, with the foundations of this building. And we need that. We need to be hearts raised up to heaven, reminded ourselves of how good God is, but we also need to have our feet firmly on the earth, because that's where God's placed us. And maybe we feel like we're reminded of that too much, how difficult and painful life can be for us and for the world. But we've got to have both those perspectives, connected with God and connected with the earth where God has placed us. When we were looking at the gathered and the scattered church, we need both those dynamics. We need to be out there in the world and we need to be gathering together to remind ourselves of what it's all about. So last time we had a Frontline Sunday, we gave you a coaster, and this time we're giving you a postcard. Could a couple of people come and help give these out? So this postcard, we want you to take it away. We don't want you to fill it in now. But it looks like this on the front. It says presence, pressure, purpose. And on the back, it's got some space for you to fill it in. So the top line is for your front line. So that for you, that might be work. somewhere you find yourself during the week. It might be a voluntary organisation that you're part of. It might be a hobby that you have. It might be that you're a carer, so you're at home, but you're kind of doing work there. So you fill that in as your front line, and then there's three boxes. The first is about presence, and it says, how do you experience God's presence with you there? That might take a bit of thinking about, because maybe you've never thought about how God is with you in that place. So think and pray about what you want to put in that box. The second is, what is the pressure point there for you? So for some people, that front line might be a really stressful place, a place that you find very difficult. And so you can write something of the stresses and strains of that place there. And then finally, purpose. What might be God's purpose for you there right now? So the example of this might be that you're in a place, your front line, where there's lots of kind of back-talking and gossip. And you're called to be different, to be light in that dark place, to be somewhere where you're trying to show positivity and love in a place that's actually quite difficult and hostile. Or it might be that you feel in the place where God's called you, people there know that you're a Christian, and maybe sometimes they come to you and say, can you pray about this? And so you know that you're being used as kind of a minister in that place. Or it might be that God's challenging you to talk about your faith more in those places, or to help those people who are in need. And then finally, there's a space for a prayer, but there's not a lot of space for prayer, for the wording of the prayer. Your prayer might simply be, Lord, help me with the above. Because if you've filled those boxes in, there's probably quite a lot there that you're holding and that you're carrying in your front line. So take those away and use them. We're going to sing again now, I think, aren't we? Just as Adam comes up, let me just pray. Lord, thank you for this amazing story of this dream that tells us that heaven and earth is connected. And Lord, we might not get that dream ourselves, but Lord, we have that story to remind us that you are not far away, but you are with us in our everyday lives. Lord, I pray for each person here who has a place where they'll find themselves tomorrow. For those for whom that place is difficult, Lord, I pray that you'd give them comfort and energy and the strength that they need. Lord, for those of us who need to be challenged a bit more, perhaps, to be light in the places we find ourselves, Lord, give us the courage that we need. Lord, speak to us clearly about how you want us to be and who you want us to be in those places. And Lord, for those of us who have lost that connection with you, or maybe have never known it, Lord, I pray right now that you would remind us deep in our hearts that we are made for relationship with you, and that we would start taking those steps towards you to know that you love us and that you want to be with us every single day. Help us to know that presence and that peace in the middle of our pressures. In Jesus' name, amen.